Well, it's good to see all of you here. It's an honor to be here with you and your pastors. And we thank God for him being with us and helping us. And, of course, you already know this. Your pastors know this more so than I, that none of this took God by surprise. God knows what's going to happen before it happens, why it's happening, and what the church's response should be to what's going on in the world. But we're actually living in, and you already know this, I don't have to tell you, we're living in a time of a spiritual and natural correction. You can't interpret what's going on by looking at natural events. It's not about things we see with our eyes. It's about correction that's coming from heaven. Because you have to interpret it in the correct way. That don't mean that God's doing evil, because certainly he doesn't. He doesn't make people sick and kill people. He don't do any of those things. But we'll just see what we have utterance for. Amen. But I appreciate your pastors, your people of integrity that practice what they preach. And what I like about them so much is they've got wisdom. You just see it coming forth from them, you know, and follow the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, and how God has used them in this area and region and places all over the world where they go. And but we know that God's got a plan that shall come to pass, not only for their lives, but for this church and for your lives. And we know that we're in the middle, even though it don't look like it. We're in the middle of the greatest move of God that the world has ever seen. Say, Brother Randy, where's it at? It's in the spirit. This, all that's happening, is a wake-up call to get the world's attention and to get the church's attention in this time that we live in. It's an honor to be here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. You know, we've talked about these things. And Lord, I ask you to help me tonight. I ask you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. Lord, may I speak your will, your plan, your purposes. And may they come to pass according to your plan. And Father, I pray that every ear under the sound of my voice will be a listening ear. And every heart will be a receptive heart. Father, for those that may be experiencing trying times and oppression, I thank you, Lord, that it will be lifted and removed. And I thank you that great victory will come into their lives. And I thank you, Lord, for success and rest to come with your best in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the great and mighty Holy Ghost that will lead us, that will guide us and direct us, even right here tonight. And Father, we give you the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yes, we live in times that we need to know what's going on. As Pastor Jay was saying, you know, I never dreamed I did know some things way back years ago about Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin. We called him Dad Hagin. It's a term of endearment, not disrespect, but high and great respect, that most all of us that knew him, you know, not just me, but most all of us that knew him, called him Dad Hagin. But back when I was in prison, he mentioned some of those times, and we may ought to lock the doors, boys. But back when I was in prison, the Lord began to speak to me during extended times of prayer and show me things. Now, I didn't understand them. I was like, Pastor was talking about, he was getting 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks. I knew it was coming out of my spirit, not 2 weeks, you know, but things that I would pray, things I would say that was coming out of my spirit, but they didn't fit the atmosphere of my life at the time. They didn't fit the circumstances at the time. And there was no way in the natural that I could explain where these things were coming from and how it was going to come to pass. But believe it or not, and I know you're believers, so you would believe it, that everything that the Lord showed me many years earlier came to pass, even to the point of sitting on the platform beside Dad Hagin at his camp meeting. I mean, it came to pass just like I saw it. Now, in the natural, when I was saying that and believing that and seeing it, because the Spirit of God was revealing it to me, never in my natural mind could I wrap myself around that, but God did that. And then my assignment, it doesn't mean it was everybody's assignment on the planet. Wherever you fit at and God sets you in that place, just stay there. But it was my assignment to sit at his feet. And I did that all the way up till his last meeting. That don't mean that everybody had to. I mean, because we all have our different stations in life. I was with him at his last meeting on planet Earth up in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, because the Lord told me that. And he also told me this, like Elijah, you know, he said to Elijah, he said, if you see me when I'm taken up, Elijah told Elijah, you see me when I'm taken up, then you'll get what you requested. And remember, the mantle fell, representing the anointing, and Elijah went over and picked up the mantle, struck the Jordan River, said, where's the God of Elijah? And that anointing and a portion came on him. And the sons of the prophet said, look yonder. Look at what's happening over there. You know what I mean? Now, these are not things that we take into ourselves, are places we take on ourselves in the Spirit. In fact, I believe that one of the things that we have in the body of Christ, not to put anybody down whatsoever, but people are trying to take an office that God didn't set them in. You know what I mean? And it's well meaning. I mean, they can see a void, you understand. I believe the heart is right. But if God doesn't call you into an office, you should not go there. Because it can be dangerous. And I know that's not a faith word, but dangerous. That it can be dangerous. And everybody that I've ever known personally that took an office or took a title, they don't take the office, they take the title. Right. Trying to take the office. Yeah. That tries to take the title without the anointing of the office, every one of them that I know died prematurely. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's not that God kills them, you understand? But you already know this, the devil don't like us anyway. Right. Yeah. You know, did you know that? He don't like us anyway. And so if he can find a little loophole in our life, we violated the word to get an inroad into it, then he can cause things to happen in our life. So that's how it was that I was with Dad Hagen. It was just a divine appointment that I do that, and I did stay with that, and I have stayed with that. And that's why I guess there's been so much separation and division from the vision that he taught to us among many that followed him. It seems like as soon as he left the earth, there was a big dispersion, a dispersal away from the things of the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit, not only walking in faith, but walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Word, but walking in the Spirit. There's a big separation that took place to the point that it actually divided the body of Christ. In our circles, in your pastor circles, my circles, there's division there. Not fighting, we're not fighting one another, but because you have belief systems that's different than somebody else's, it doesn't mean that you hate them, but it just causes you to go this way and them to go that way. But I'll tell you what I've been like. I've been like concrete, thoroughly mixed and well set. My God. That's what Papa Hagen used to say. I'm like concrete, thoroughly mixed and well set. Because you knew immediately what happened when their division came and they began to walk away from the Word and the Spirit. Again, I'm not putting them down. Is they was following a man instead of a vision. Dad Hagen was a man anointed of God, but the vision he had was the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand that and can't embrace that, then that's how you can go astray. And that's what happened to many. They were following the man, and as soon as the man was gone, they said, it's the end, the vision is complete, and now it's over. No. Moses took them up to the promised land. Didn't he? But he couldn't go in into the promised land for different reasons. Isn't that right? But then the next generation, following the directions of Moses, Not their own plan, not their own ideas, not their own vision, but the vision that came from heaven through Moses to them. The ones that followed that vision went into the promised land. The ones that did not. Thank you for getting excited about it. That's the truth. That's why we want to follow the heavenly vision and not just follow a person. Yes, we highly respect the person. We respect the office. But we also respect the vision. And we want to follow the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing. That's what this church is doing. That's what we are dependent upon in this day. Dad Hagin, before he went to heaven, sat down beside me in his hotel suite. He'd invited me to that suite. Little did I know what was going to happen. I thought I was going to get some of that, what you call finger food. Do you know what finger food is? Finger food is where you bite your doggone finger trying to find it. I'll just tell you the truth about it. You can't plow a mule a half a row on some of that stuff. They call it finger food. So I went to his hotel room because he asked me to come up there. And I spoke, you know, at his meeting. And I was sitting there in a chair just kind of by myself. And most everybody had gone except a, you know, couple around there. And suddenly somebody sat down to my left in the empty chair, put their right arm around me, and squeezed me. And I turned immediately to see who it was, and it was Dad Hagin. Well, the first thing that I started doing is pleading the blood and deleting files. You know what I mean? You know, for you computer wizards, we hadn't had to delete that file. But because said, why is that? Because he said, usually if he's in the spirit, he touches somebody, he can about know everything about them. And there were some things I didn't want him to know. So I was trying to delete all them files before he could know it. So he sat there in that chair beside me for a little over 1 hour. He talked to me about the end time ministry that I would step into. In fact, I was entering into it then. And some things that the Lord would have me do. And how persecution would come. And that I could not quit. You're going to have to say what God tells you to say. And you're going to have to do what God said for you to do. He said, but you got to walk in love. He said, if you don't walk in love, he said, you'll die prematurely. And most of you here, and I know your pastors have heard him say this. He's told stories about this particular thing. He said, every preacher he ever saw that fought another preacher, they always died prematurely. And I am one to watch what happens to others and try not to make the same mistake. Your pastors and I were talking about that on the way to church, and I'll not get into that. But I mentioned something that happened that I heard, and I just seen something happen in another person's life, a minister, and I said, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not saying that's why they went on. You know, we discussed that too. Your pastors would know more about it while they went on. But anyway, I just decide I'm not going to get into that. He said, you're going to have to walk in love. You can't get to fighting one another. Can I tell you the last message that I heard Dad Hagin preach? 1 Corinthians 13, how to walk in love. He was under the greatest attack he had ever been in his life in ministry. Not only from the people, but also from demonic activity. When I was there in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada with him, he comes staggering into the room one morning where I was at in this private room. He comes staggering in there and said, you're going to have to pray for me. I had never heard those words out of his mouth the whole time I'd ever been around him. And I thought, my Lord, what's wrong? He was staggering like he'd been drinking. You know what I mean? You know he don't, unless it's the Holy Ghost. He might, you know. And I had never seen him that way. You know, he was up in years. In fact, he had his 86th birthday, I was there. So he was starting to his 87th year. And I seen him, and he sat down in a chair there and then just began to talk. And after a while, said, well, let's pray. You know, let's pray. He said, I got it. He said, I'm all right now. So I learned from him, you can get it. You can get it. You'll be all right now. Something may try to get you, but he was under a spiritual attack. During that time, and you know, you could go too far because people don't understand certain things. That don't mean I know everything. Let's make this disclaimer right up front. Let's make it. I don't know it all. Dad Hagin used to have altar calls for liars. He says, is there anybody in the building that knows it all? Raise your hand and we're going to have an altar call for liars. Listen, that works for Overflow too. So y'all over there. We hadn't forgot about you. Thank you for joining us like the pastors have said. He said, have an altar call for liars. If you know it all, come on down here. He said, we're going to pray for you. He said, nobody knows it all. He said, I don't know it all. He said, nobody knows it all. So I'm making the disclaimer right up front. I don't know it all. And Dad Hagin always taught us this. He said, a big shot is just a little shot away from home. You remember that? So I'm not no big shot. I'm just a little shot. That's all there is to it. So I don't know it all. And if the Lord don't say something to me, I'm in a heap of trouble. But up there, he taught on love, talked to me during that time. After he put his arm around me, I was telling that story, and he sat there and talked to me about things of the Spirit. I had some questions because I'd had some spiritual experiences that I really didn't understand. And so it opened up an opportunity. You know, over a course of an hour, you know what I mean? You got time to talk about things. And I knew how he operated. When he was in the Spirit, the best thing to do is not interrupt him. There was some that never learned that. And when he would get in the Spirit, then they would try to butt in and ask a question, and that's not the time to do it because he's flowing in the Holy Ghost and you interrupt that flow. But there were times there that it was just a prime opportunity for me to ask him questions, and he would laugh, you know, about what I asked him, not to put me down. He said, oh, yes, yeah, I remember that. Back in 1942, over yonder, such and such a street, at 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm just hypothetical, but he would know it right. I had that same experience. This is what you do when you encounter that. And so that just helped me so tremendously during that time. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And that night, you know, that I was there with him, then I received an impartation from him. And little did I know how much I was going to need it. Now, when I say from him, I received it from heaven. But the Bible says no man can receive anything except to be given him from heaven. I believe John said that, isn't that right? So it comes from heaven, but a lot, most of all the time, it comes through men and women on this earth to you. That's why we have ministry offices and gifts and pastors and different things like that, even though the Lord can sovereignly work in your life. You understand? And I have received those type of anointings, I'm sure, just like you have. I received an anointing one time sitting on a 5-gallon bucket that was turned upside down underneath the acorn tree in my mama's backyard. So if you want to get that anointing, you got to get under the acorn tree and get you a 5-gallon bucket and sit down on it. So you can get an anointing. God can minister to you certain specific ways. But it seems like the deeper things that God wants to impart to you usually comes through somebody with wisdom. Somebody that's anointed of God. Somebody that's been used by God, and they become the avenue that God flows through to minister to you in your life. So I have endeavored since that time to stay with what the Holy Ghost was saying and doing. And that, again, I've made the disclaimer, I don't know it all. But we made that decision that we're going on with God. And I am like concrete. I'm thoroughly mixed and well set. A lot of my friends, and I don't say it to put them down, but a lot of my friends have metamorphosis into all kinds of things. But if you see me now, you see me 20 years ago. I am like God. I'm not God. I'm like God. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does he mean by that? Find the principles that God operated in back yonder. He's still operating in the same principles today. He always moves according to a pattern, principle, or a plan. And you can find it in the written word of God. So we thank God for that. So he does have wisdom about the days that we live in today. He does know where we're at today. None of this has taken God by surprise. In fact, God got me ready for it. I mean, I'll just tell you the truth. I don't say that from a prideful position, but he got us ready for it. For this natural and spiritual correction that's going on. And again, God's not putting virus on nobody or none of that kind of stuff or killing people or anything like that. We know that. But with utterance, maybe throughout this meeting here, we'll be able to say some things about it. And I wasn't going to say anything, you know, about this because I had said a few things and there's so much going on, you know, about what's happening in the natural, who done this and why it's happening here and over that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying there's not a truth to all that. You know, I'm not saying that. But I'll just say it. Maybe I won't say it. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. But anyway, the Lord said speak, and I won't tell you how he told me, but it was supernatural. That he told me to say this, and I said, Lord, they're not going to hear me. They're not going to believe me. He said, that's not your job to make that decision. He said, it's your job to say what I tell you to. And he said, then the responsibility is lifted off of you and it's placed on them. And I said, okay, Lord. So I said some things. And it's recorded back there. Maybe we'll be able to say some things here. But turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're just getting warmed up, hitting on all the cylinders, you know. Greasing the tractors to get back in the field with. Is that all right? But there's a reason for everything. And they have to be interpreted in the light of the Spirit of God too. And when we do, we're going to come out on top. Amen. But Matthew chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting Jesus, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They wanted him to prove to them who he was. But he answered them and said unto them, he didn't answer them in relation to what they were asking. He answered them in relation to what they needed to hear. Jesus is always that way. You may ask a question desiring something, but he knows what you really need to know more than the question you're asking. Verse 2 says, and he answered and said unto them, Jesus did, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Says, oh, you hypocrites. He said, you cannot discern. He said, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? They're asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he's telling them, if I showed you a sign, you wouldn't believe it because you wouldn't understand it. You're interpreting things totally in the natural. You're walking by what you see. You're interpreting what the weather's going to be by looking out yonder and seeing a cloud somewhere. So they're operating in the natural. He said, you cannot discern the signs of the times in the natural. You've got to discern them in the spirit. You've got to understand them. So we live in a time that we must discern and understand what God is saying in this day, in this hour, and in this season. God knows everything, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to tell me everything or you in everything, but he's going to tell us enough to help us out. Now, I do believe this. With the fivefold ministry offices, some call them ministry gifts. Brother Hagin used to call them ministry offices. And then some call it the ascension gifts, because the Bible says when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men that way. So whichever way you choose is fine with me. But I believe, according to the Bible, that what you're going to have is a complete picture of what God is saying when the fivefold ministry gifts are able to communicate a message to the entire body of Christ if the church will hear it. That they'll hear what the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher is saying, and we put it together, we're going to have a whole picture of what's going on. Because none of us have it all. None of us know it all. Some see things a little different this way. Some see things a little different that way. But Dad Hagin used to talk to us about spiritual truths. And he said, spiritual truths are like climbing a mountain, a steep mountain. You can climb up a mountain on one side and look off over there, and you can see a view. That view's not wrong, but that's just the only view you can see. You can go around that mountain and look over there, and you see another view. What you're seeing's not wrong, but you just got one view. But if you just leave those views down here and climb on up to the pinnacle of the mountain top, you get a panoramic view of everything that's going on. And you don't get over-focused on something. And it seems like in the church today, we're getting over-focused on minute things that have nothing to do with what the Spirit of God is saying or doing. We're looking at natural events, trying to judge it with a spiritual intuition, and you can't do it. I believe this, and I don't know, I wouldn't call myself an end-time preacher. You know what I mean? And I would be the wrong one to try to explain it to you. But I believe that that's why we've gotten in trouble trying to interpret Revelation sometimes. And I'm not saying everybody. It's because a person will see a natural event coming on and say, because that natural event, this ties into the book of Revelation. And buddy, we got it right now, you know. I mean, the latest thing that I believe that's come up. Some of my I'm hearing out there, you know, is the Antichrist, you know, and the chip and the vaccines and all this kind of things, you know. And I'm not saying there's not a truth to all that, you know. I'm not saying that. Or they're taking over the world and the secret society and the WHO, you know. We used to listen to the WHO when he's a heathen. I'm just telling you right now. he ain't got no angel wings in the back. Who remembers the WHO? We got some heathens in your church out here. rock and roll group. Y'all remember them things? Some of them can't remember. You know they was out of it, brother. So I'm not saying there's not a truth to all that, you know, or whatever, the Chinese bird and the bat, whatever, you know, I don't know. Honan, Wunan, whatever. I mean, there's truth to all this. But if you begin to try to interpret spiritually by what's going on naturally, 99 9/10% of the time you're going to miss it. The only way you can know what God is saying is climb to the mountain, even though there's truths all around you, and hear what God is saying. So, Antichrist, are you ready for him to come get you? Well, I believe we win. I believe, if your pastors have taught me right, we win this thing. You cannot, can I just say this kindly? It helped me. I don't know if it helped you or not, but maybe it helped you. People concerned about the Antichrist. They're going to get us in Fauci and Gates and WHO and remember, that's the rock group, WHO, you know, you're going to get us and they're going to stick us and we got it and it's the end of the world, we're all going to hell. I didn't know what to think. You know, I only got 11th grade education. I'm simple-minded. So I have to have the Lord help me. Well, he came to me and I'm not going to go no more because I was laboring with it. And he said, son, he said, you hear this talk about the Antichrist and the chip and all this stuff and how the mark of the beast and what's going on. I said, yeah, Lord, I've been wondering about that. He said, well, I've come to talk to you about it. I said, well, I'd be glad to know it because I don't want to get it, whatever it is. I don't want to get it. And now this is the way he gave it to me. Now, it's kind of, sometimes it's kind of tough to interpret spiritual things with natural English words. You know what I'm talking about. But he said, a lot of them are talking about the mark of the beast and the gates and whatever, you know. He said, no human being can take the mark of the beast against their will. He said, what many are calling the mark of the beast is not the mark of the beast. And I said, Lord, it's news to me. What do you mean? He said, taking the mark of the beast means this. It doesn't mean that you're taking a vaccination. It doesn't mean that. He said, when you take the mark of the beast, he said, read in the Bible. If you go later and read, I'm not going to turn there now. Revelation 13, he had me do this. He said, what happens to take the mark of the beast, you have to first deny that Jesus Christ is God. Yeah. Number two, you have to reject him as being the Savior of the world. Then number three, the beast, you won't find the Antichrist in Revelation, don't stone me, but you won't find it in Revelations. You'll find the beast, which who is the Antichrist, you know what I mean. But the words you won't find there. There is Antichrist spirit, and the Lord helped me with this, you know. But the beast has been given power by Satan with a lot of miracles and lying signs and wonders, and the world is going to reject Jesus, go reject the true God, and they're going to say this beast is God. That's the only way you can take the mark of the beast. Now, I'm not saying that, like the Bible says, he's going to cause all to receive a chip in their right hand or forehead or whatever it is, you know. But by this time, I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Don't make me sing. Woo! Because there seems to be a fear or panic going on about this. You know what I mean? But the Lord is going to take care of us. So even if they were, and this is the way the Lord described it to me. He said, even if somebody bodily, like 8 or 10 guys or whatever, because it'd probably take 8 or 10 at least to get Pastor and I. You know what I mean? Schwarzenegger, get out of our way. My God, at 8 or 10. He said, if 8 or 10 guys were to take you down and shoot you with a chip, he said, it doesn't mean that you are taking the mark of the beast. He said, because that would be against your will. He said, you're not rejecting me because somebody forcibly does something to you. You know what I mean? And that was news to me. Because it seemed like people think, well, they're going to move. Now, he does say he's going to force all to do it, you know. But you're going to have to pledge allegiance to him. And by the way, we're not going to do that as Christians. We wouldn't even make it to the firing squad. We'd be gone. We're going out of here. That's what your pastors taught me. We're going to win this thing. The Antichrist is not going to take you over. And he's not going to take me over. And I sure know he's not going to take your pastors over. Between Pastor and I, we got enough ammunition to hold them off. I'm telling you, for a while, I got 3 safes full. I don't know about you. My God. Don't make me put my 50 caliber up on it. Oh, my God. Well, I got chapter and verse. Jesus said, take up the sword. My God. Woohoo. So just because somebody says that's going to happen, that's what the Jesus told me. You just, you know, put it on the shelf, throw it away, whatever. But he said, you can't take it against your will. In other words, somebody can't sneak up on you and give you a shot and all of a sudden you're going to hell. You don't go to hell from a shot. You go to hell from rejecting Jesus Christ. Isn't Jesus so intelligent? Yes. See, if you ain't simple-minded like me, you can't get that revelation. Just be simple-minded. He's going to be with us. He's going to be on our side. So because we've got a spiritual truth, there are truths that are going on all around us. You know, they're taking over the secret society, the, you know, global, whatever, world government or whatever. All those things may have a truth. And there may be a truth in all this. And Gates or Fauci or Foxy or what's his name? Foxy? Who? Some Fauci. 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 I got it from good word. He got interpretation of what it is. He was interpreting. He interpreted my tongue. We believe in tongues and interpretation. But if you get to look and if you don't, if you watch it, you can watch the news too much. You know what I mean? And you know, a fake book too. You know, fake book? Facebook. Facebook. Oh, excuse me. Fake book. You know, I must have been listening to Mr. Trump too much. You know what I mean? But fake book. Do you know they got bots? Bots that they program to run around your Facebook page. And if you ever click on one of them things, you know what's going to happen? I got him. And then here comes all of this scare tactics. The next thing you know, you're underneath your couch. My God. And the cat comes by, you grab him by the tail, he drag it under there with you. And you tell the cat, I'm doing it for your own good. My God, hang on. You got to laugh. Y'all been locked up too long. I'm here to tell you. I'm telling you, we going to win this thing. We got it. Said, how do you know Jesus Christ came and stood beside my bed? And I wouldn't go say it, but it popped out. And he told me. He stood beside my bed and told me. Woo! Woo! Ain't scared. God is with us. God is with us. I'll call my mama. She's 85. And when she answered, I said, Mama, she said, what? I said, get out from under the doggone bed. I ain't under no bed. I'm just messing with her, you know. I ain't under no bed. I said, well, don't you get under there. I said, you're going to be all right, Mama. God's going to take care of you, Mama. Listen, when the plague was coming on Egypt, God's children lived in the land of Goshen. My God. It's a time that you, it's a time that I have a change of address. I'm moving into the land of Goshen. I am in this world, but I am a not partaker of what's going on here. Glory to God, I'm not. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, it's in your Bible. Go read about the land of Goshen. While the plagues were coming on Egypt, God was taking care of his children. Now, our heart does go out to any and everybody that's been affected by this coronavirus stuff. You know, it does. And it's real. It's really out there. And we just believe that, you know, that everybody's going to come through it in Jesus' name. You know, that's what our desire is. And he's going to take care of us. And he's going to take care of you. That doesn't mean, like your pastors have said, that we don't use wisdom. We do. Just like the Bible, it says in Mark 16 that we take up serpents. But I can guarantee you, assured you something. I'm not jumping in no pool of rattlesnakes and grabbing two or three of them. Y'all remember Wendy Bagwell, don't you? Let me tell you about a Wendy Bagwell. Y'all need to hear these stories. It'll help you. Oh, Wendy Bagwell and his wife and his children, they were up there in the mountains of and the hills and hollers of North Carolina, but it was southern North Carolina, right where the Georgia border is. There's mountains, hills, and hollers. And they was a singing family. You know, they sang and everything, so people liked them, so they had a good rapport, you know, especially among Pentecostal churches. So they was up there singing, old Wendy, he was a getting along good, hitting them notes, and his wife was coming there in that alto soprano, and others over there's on tenor, and others a mile or two away, but they were all in there, you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, one of these fellas on the front of the bench in this little country church got to dancing and a shouting and a shaking. And he danced up to the front. There was a basket sitting across the front. And he reached and opened this basket up. This man did. And he pulled out the biggest rattlesnake Wendy Bagwell said he had ever seen in his doggone life. He said he looked at his wife, and her name was Geraldine. And he said it seemed as if she was paralyzed. I mean, this man's got a snake, and he was just a shouting and a carrying on. Well, they believe that that's the faith. You know, if that thing didn't bite you and kill you, that was faith in God. Well, there's another fella sitting over there that didn't want this fella to outdo him, you know, because he's going to have more faith, you know. So there's another basket over there. So he jumps, dances, and comes up here. The other fella does open this basket and reached in there and get two rattlesnakes. And he got to dancing in front of the platform, in front of Wendy Bagwell and his wife Geraldine, his children, and they're scared half to death. And I know that's not a faith confession, that's a flat fact. I'm telling you the truth about it. They were scared. And these guys are shaking these snakes. So Wendy turned and looked at his wife Geraldine, and he said, "Where's the back door at?" She said, "I already looked, and there ain't none." Wendy said, "Where you reckon they want one at?" "Where you reckon they want one?" And Wendy said, "You know, there ain't a jealous bone in my body." He said, "I'm telling you," he said, "I want to share and share alike." He said, "That man that had the two biggest rattlesnakes I've ever seen in my life danced up to me, shaking that thing towards me, and I was backing up. And he said, 'Here, you take this one here.'" Wendy said, "There wasn't a greedy bone in my body." He said, "Give mine to Geraldine." That was his wife. They got out of the church alive. And they didn't pack everything up either, but they got out alive. So that doesn't mean we don't use wisdom like your pastors have taught us. Isn't that right? It says we take up serpents, but again, Paul was tending a fire, putting a stick on it, and a poisonous snake reached out and bit him, and he shook it off in the fire. Now, that's the right way to do it. But you don't shout in a rattlesnake's ear if he's got an ear. And ask him, "Can he hear you?" "Hey!" You wouldn't do that. That would be a tempting God. Jesus was taken to the temple. Isn't that right? The devil took him. Remember that? And he said, "Jump off of here." The devil told him, "Jump off of here." And he said, "Tempt not the Lord thy God." Isn't that right? So there's wisdom in everything. That don't mean we're acting fear, but we move in faith. And God will supernaturally take care of us every single time. And one of the problems we have today is the enemy is using this to bring confusion, division, and separation. Confusion, division, and separation in the church world. He's trying to further divide. Now, the Lord's been telling me, in fact, he started telling me this the end of last year. And it came out real strong in January of this year before all this hit. We were down at our Florida meeting. And the Lord said, the remnant, this is what he said, "The remnant has been scattered," he said, "but I'm gathering them together." Amen. So the remnant is going to get stronger and more in number. Because not everybody wants the heavenly vision. Not everybody wants the plan, but he said the remnant has been scattered, but I'm going to bring them together. People that believe the same thing, going to walk in the same way. They're going to walk in unison and march in order together. And they're all speaking the same thing, believing the same thing, praying the same thing. Because you take a group of them kind of folks that's standing together. You take 300, ask Gideon. 300. That was more powerful than the giant army. There was a lot more that he started out with, and God filtered it down to 300. Isn't that right? But they were all in one mind and one accord. They were walking in unison. They were believing the same thing. They were saying the same thing, going the same direction. Had the same belief system. Those 300 were more powerful than all the thousands that had already left. And God used that 300 to accomplish his plan and bring his will to pass. Isn't that right? And so he's gathering the remnant together. Only he can do it. I can't do it, but he can do it. So one of the problems we have, turn to Timothy. One of the problems we have is because of this confusion and separation and division that we've got going on in the church world today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is why it's going on in the church world. I'm not talking about the world. There's enough of that out there already. But confusion, separation, division. It's going to set some things in order. Even though it looks like chaos now, it's going to set some things in God's divine order. It is. He's going to bring the remnant together. And out of this, the remnant's going to accomplish the will of God. There's a confusion, separation, and division. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The problem we had going into this attack, because this is all an attack, to stop the plan of God. There's other reasons behind it, but you can just one side of it. There's an attack to try to hinder and stop the plan of God. But one problem we had in the church world as a whole is many in the church world did not know the Holy Ghost. So when all of this happened, further pandemonium happened, and now everybody's trying to figure out what's happening, and there's spirits running around. They're called seducing spirits. A seducing spirit is an imposter. It is an impersonator from the devil. Seducing spirits impersonate the Holy Ghost. And because people did not know the Holy Ghost prior to going into this, I'm talking about good preachers that didn't know the Holy Ghost. Good communicators, you might could call them, that did not know the Holy Ghost. When this happened, now they don't know what's happening. And now all kinds of things are being said about why it's going on and what's taking place. Because we have these impersonators called seducing spirits that impersonate the Holy Ghost. And the people don't know who the real Holy Ghost is. Many preachers don't. Not all, but many don't. Don't know him. Didn't know him before they come into this. And they certainly don't know now. And this circumstances that we're in now has actually caused many to further get away from God than they have gotten closer to God. Because in confusion, division, and separation. There is a fight going on in the spirit, but it's spiritual warfare, not natural. What the church must do is get on its knees and seek God. And get acquainted with the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking about necessarily this church or every church. But there are many churches that don't know the Holy Ghost. Many churches that didn't know the Spirit of God. And so this impersonator called a seducing spirit, he acts like the Holy Ghost. But one thing you can find out assuredly about this impersonator, and people that don't know the Holy Ghost don't know this, the impersonator, seducing spirits comes from the outside. He whispers thoughts into your mind, but the Holy Ghost comes from your inside. He speaks from in here, not out here. And so this impersonator that impersonates the Holy Ghost because they don't really know him, they think what he's saying is true. And it's not. He's impersonating the Holy Ghost to get him into further error and confusion and separation and division. So there's going to be a shaking out that's taking place during this time. There are going to be those that don't survive this. I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about the shaking. There are going to be those in the church that become disillusioned with everything about Christianity and say this stuff must not work anyway. And they're going to find out that the messages they've been declaring and that everything's going to be all right and you don't need to repent, they're going to find out, and they have found out, that it don't work. Where did the seeker-friendly movement get us? In the middle of a coronavirus. Where did the non-Holy Ghost people get us? In the middle of a coronavirus. Thank you for your enthusiasm. For had the church stood, and I'm talking about more than one of us, stood, because there's others who are standing, to the fullness of what we should, this would have never happened. The church has the authority to stop these things. Now, there are things that are going to come on this earth because your pastors have taught us. And they're going to come. But some of these things, it's not time yet. I mean, there's a time for everything. But it's not time for some of these things. And because we were not fully in our place, Jesus told Brother Hagin that he was going to hold the church responsible even for the president's mistakes. And if you've heard the vision of the frogs or ever read it, I know if you're in this church, you've heard about it. Where Jesus, and he fell down before Jesus' feet weeping and crying. He said, I'm going to hold you responsible for the president's mistakes. You think he's going to hold us responsible for the president's mistakes back then? What's he going to hold us responsible for today, you know? In other words, the church has more authority than what we think we do. Where did the social clubs that they call churches get us? In the middle of a coronavirus. Where'd they get us? Powerless and ineffective. And I don't say it to attack. I say it to tell you fact. What they were doing is not working. And this is absolute proof of it. Because if it worked, we wouldn't be here. Now, your question is, you stayed up, I mean, last night. You said, when that preacher gets there, I mean, Pastor Jay been threatening us, he's a coming. Now, when he gets there, I'm telling you, you last night, when I'm going to ask him this question. I'm going to ask him this question. I can all day today, you know, you thought about it, coming to church, you know, watching for somebody to grab you and snatch you out and shoot you, you know, with a shot, you know, and all that stuff. Whatever, you know. When I get to that church, I'm going to ask that crazy preacher this question. He's about half out of his mind, but he's so simple-minded, he might have an answer. There's no telling. Well, if I am walking with God, and my church is walking with God, and there's numbers of us that are walking with God throughout the body of Christ, why are we in the middle of this too? We didn't make all them mistakes. Now, before you get the angel wings on your back, Brother Hagin said they're not angel wings, they're shoulder blades. That don't make us high and mighty. And it don't make us spiritual snooties. Looking down our nose like we're Mr. and Mrs. Somebody. No. But why have we all got to partake of the same thing? You know, that's a good question. I knew you was going to stay up all night, think about it all day, drive down the church. If we get in there and get that crazy preacher going, we're going to ask him this question. Why are we all partaking of the same thing? All of us didn't do wrong. We walked with the Holy Ghost. We done what the Holy Ghost said. Well, I asked the Lord the same thing. And the Lord said, he said, it's a story you've been knowing since you was a Sunday school boy. I said, what is it? He said, you remember the story of the children of Israel under the command of Moses And he told him to go take 12 spies and go spy out the promised land. Isn't that right? He said the 12 spies went into the promised land. And remember, 10 of them came back, the Bible says, with an evil report. What was the evil report? They said the land is just like God said, but we can't go in and take it because there's giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers to them. But Joshua and Caleb, that's obeying God, said, yeah, there's giants in the land over there, but their defense is gone from them, and God is for us. Let's go up at once and take it. Not everybody disobeyed God. And I'm sure there were more than Joshua and Caleb that were believing God. I'm sure there was a remnant that were standing with Joshua and Caleb. You know they had to be. But all of them had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of the majority's disobedience. Now that doesn't mean that Joshua and Caleb didn't go in, because they did go in. But the others that got in disobedience and would not obey God, they died in the wilderness. Isn't that right? But I point out to you, because of the majority of the people were opposing the will of God and made the mistake, then everybody was in the same boat, so to speak. But God brought his children out. He brought his faith people out. In fact, they come out better than it ever went into thing. Isn't that right? Joshua was appointed commander to lead the people. Caleb, at 80 years old, over in the promised land, said to Joshua, give me this mountain. Isn't that right? But notice, can you see the parallel, the principle? So that's the answer to your question. Because of the majority's disobedience, we're involved in it too. It doesn't mean that everybody's disobedient. But the majority of the church world, like it or not, has been in disobedience. But God is bringing us out. He's bringing the remnant together. And his plan is coming to pass. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop it. I got a question for you. Since you stayed up to ask me one, I want to ask you one. Is the devil defeated? Yes. How do you know? It's not a trick question. It's an open book test. How do you know? The Bible says so. I'm very pleased. I'm going to give you an A+. Is the devil defeated?
Yes.
How do you know?
The Bible says so.
Exactly. All right, if the devil is defeated, you told me he was, isn't that right?
Yes.
You told me. That means he's been defeated, D-E-F-E-E-T-E-D, defeated, so he has no feet. What are you running from him for? You told me, you preached it to me. Right out of the Bible, you preached it to me. Isn't that right? He's been defeated. Said, Brother Randy, you are simple-minded. I know it helps to be simple-minded. Trust in the Holy Ghost. Every time you think of the devil, think of him being defeated. Because that's what the Bible says. He is not going to take over as long as you're here. He's not going to take over as long as the church is here. And I tell you how bold who we call Dad Hagin, and many of you call Dad Hagin, he would be. He said, the devil ain't going to take over as long as I'm here. And he had Chicky's leg in there. Y'all remember that? He'd say that. Like if he was the last one standing, the devil still ain't going to take over. And it's the truth. And that's the mentality that we develop. That's the mentality that we believe, and we stand on the word. So these seducing spirits that are operating, they are impersonators of the Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't think that up. The Lord told me that. They're impersonating the Holy Ghost. And because many didn't know who the Holy Ghost was coming into it now, before we got to this point, they certainly don't know him now. There's more confusion, division, and separation than ever. And there are truths. I'm telling you, truths to some things people are saying. they're a truth. But the truth, remember, is found at the top of the mountain when you get the panoramic view. So there are things that God has for us in this day. And we need to discern the times that we live in light of what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't take this the wrong way. Can I say this politely? I pray for our president. I pray for everybody else. But it's not what Mr. Trump says. Even though I voted for him, I voted for him in the primary in Oklahoma, and probably nobody else, just a handful may have. Because the Lord, yeah, we voted, y'all did. I voted for him in the primary, but my wife did. And people, you know, heard us talking, and they kind of laughed and snickered at us. But the Lord has shown me that he was going to be the man. So Brother Randy, the Lord, we need to go talk to that fella. Does he know what he's doing? If Mr. Trump wasn't in there, I'm telling you, you're talking about a mess. You're talking about a mess. Probably half the population of the United States would be dead right now. I said, Brother Randy, he ain't right. I know he ain't right. He's politically wrong. The old proverbial saying, he's like a bull in the china shop. If it ain't nothing broke when he goes in, he makes sure he breaks everything before he comes out. He does. I mean, and God chose him. I didn't choose him. God did. But I say this, it doesn't matter what Mr. Trump says. Even though I love him, appreciate him, it don't matter what Mr. Pence says. It don't matter what Mr. Fauci says. Don't matter what, is it her name, Miss Elizabeth, that's up there? The woman? Huh? Bert. Burks. Yeah, that doctor woman that's up there. I've seen him. What is it? Dr. Birch? Birch. Is that close enough? Birch. Have I got any interpreters in here? Tongues and interpretation. But it don't matter what they say. It don't matter what who says. We done went through that. We was back there. We was tripped out. Remember that blotter acid y'all was taking? My God, I know you was out of it then. It don't matter what the who says. It don't matter what Wuhan or whoever. Or Chinese or what is his name? North Korea man. Whatever, you know. Oh, you know what matters more than all of that? Even though we don't belittle them whatsoever, it matters what he's saying. If you don't watch it, you'll concentrate on the natural and forget about the spiritual. And you won't discern the signs of the times by looking at natural events. Sometimes you just have to turn them off and get your mind quiet. Because there's always another theory. There's always another idea. There's always a why. If they'd have done this, then we wouldn't have had that. And there's truth to all that. I'm not saying there's not truth to it. But if you're going to hear God, you've got to kind of put them on the shelf. Respect their positions. Respect their place. But look to God. And he'll give you the answer. He'll give you a solution. He'll take you in the direction that you need to go. In fact, the Lord has told me exactly why this is going on, exactly why it's taking place. And with his permission, during this meeting, it probably will come out. And we'll make it so easy to understand. I mean, so easy. Because remember, I'm simple-minded. And I'm not going, if you see any baskets sitting up here, don't get too close to the front. I'm going to call Wendy in, you know, and Geraldine. But you have to laugh. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. I'll tell you the truth about it. My son and my wife have been concerned about me. I got my I don't know if you call it the easy chair, recliner. What do you call them things? Lazy boys, you know. Get out. And I'll be just sitting back in that thing, and I'll get to laughing out of my belly. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, just rolling out of me. And they said, what's wrong with you? Tears are getting run down my cheeks. What's wrong with you? I said, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Woo! Said, Brother Randy, you out of your mind? I have lost my mind. And I've got the mind of Christ. Amen. Just be simple-minded. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you've been with us. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you've given to us and granted to us. Why don't you just stand to your feet? I want to pray for you while you're standing right there. Is that all right? I know you've been sitting for a little bit. We're just getting warmed up. We're getting hitting on all the cylinders. And I know there's some things that the Lord wants to bring out. We'll get there. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I invoke and I speak a very special blessing over every individual under the sound of my voice, not only in this room, but in the overflow, Father. We thank you for them. And I thank you for a special anointing coming upon them today. Father, I thank you for supernatural provision coming their way in the name of Jesus. And I thank you the healing power of God is flowing through them and into them now, even those that may be watching by internet, Lord, with a special link. Father, I pray for them and to pray the power of God will come into them and the strength of God will come into them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and anointing that will flow supernaturally in and through our lives so that you will get the glory for it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.